Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, O Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Simate Bhakti Vedanta, Saminiti Namine, Namaste Sarasate Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavari, Paskatyari Satarine, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Govaktavinna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, Mahabhagavat. Thank you. We were coming in our analysis of the Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. To a point from where the rasa will slowly begin to flow. We have heard Lord Brahma's introduction to Vrindavan as a very special place where he wants to be present as a blade, a simple bush who gets the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of the residents of Vrindavan on his head. And Brahma really feels a little unqualified and awkward to be in that Brahma form in Vrindavan because he had just committed an offense against Lord Krishna. I think you know and remember the offense. He had mistaken him to be an ordinary human being who didn't know the rules of cleanliness, which is a big issue in spiritual circles. He had seen how Krishna had in the process of eating how he had extended his hand to the plate of another eater who had made his plate muchi and had eaten the food from his plate. And he thought, well, he doesn't really, this should be God, he doesn't know to be clean. I will test, I will show that he is not God, and I will bring him in a very awkward position where he will be entirely helpless. I will steal his cowherd boyfriends and let him do something. So Krishna had then expended in all the stolen cowherd boys, and when Brahma returned to check what Krishna would do after his kidnapping of the cowherd boys, then Brahma saw nothing was done. Nothing had changed. All the cowherd boys were still there. At that time, Brahma was dumbfounded. He didn't really know what to do. But this was not all. Krishna decided to totally humiliate him. He revealed how each one of the forms, the cowherd boys, was actually him. So Brahma saw all of a sudden an unlimited darshan of Krishna's Aishwarya potency by seeing so many Vishnu forms here in Vrindavan. He was really, really amazed and shocked. And after praying to Lord Krishna, this shock could not leave him. He felt, "I'm a great offender. I've done something so impossible. Even after my prayers, I don't feel relieved." So he said to Krishna, "Krishna, I will make it briefly. Just please, my urgent request is, I know I'm a fool, so give me some very low position here in Vrindavan as a bush who will get the dust of your pure devotees. I know, and I think it's better I leave now." And then he, dann hat die Fliege gemacht. As we say in German, he made the fly, that is, he ran away. So, then the next two verses are a general glorification of Vrindavan. One is of Giriraj, the most important place in Vrindavan, and now Vrindavan. Here is the meditation about this about Giriraj's position or Giriraj's place. We will hear our Narada Muni helping us. Prashanta, I think you must be more Narada Muni. That is, oh friend, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth, having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Devaki. The peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flute, and when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned. Oh! Smaran, meditation. Dhanyavad. So, this scene, this particular scene, takes place here at the foothill of Giriraj. Krishna is somewhere here in this meditation. He has placed his two lotus feet on the earth of Vrindavan, and he plays, and the peacocks dance madly as they hear Govinda's flute. And when other creatures who are here in the audience on the hilltop see this, they have an amphitheater look. They all become stunned. We were reading this verse, and then we were going from this verse into another verse. As you meditate, that's very important. You do usually stay with one verse, but it so happens that another verse will be very favorable, and you will move from that verse with the help of another verse into a wonderful scene. In this wonderful scene, we will prepare now for you a little bit better than yesterday, a little bit more in detail. I first want to make an active workshop now with you. How does Krishna look as he plays on his flute? Any informations? Let us collect now informations. Imagine Krishna is here at this place. You are in the perspective of the birds. You see him. How do you see him? What is there? What do you remember? This is a very important exercise, by the way, because when you will do Bhakti Rasayana meditation, you will exactly go to these points. How does Krishna look? He is in the dress of a dancing actor. How does a dancing actor look? Kalakanta, what you say is specific about a dancing actor? A good question, isn't it? Three things must be there for a dancing actor. Special costume. Krishna has, for instance, a four-piece suit. That is a dhoti. He must have a belt, a colorful belt, often green. He has a blouse, very often orange. And then he has a very amazing hairdress, a turban, which at times when dancing gets intense, he takes out and he waves, because this is increases the drama of the dance. He is also very much accustomed to have a pitambara, a yellow shawl, which is very good as it waves in the air. Those of you who dance will know how helpful a shawl is to increase the flow of the movements and to make you almost fly in ecstasy. Those of you who dance will know. It is extremely helpful, a shawl. Then his ornaments. What ornaments does Krishna wear? Let us stay with the ornaments. Earrings in the shape of a shark. Other ornaments. A garland from Gunja Berry. By the way, this garland of Gunja Berry, which is actually a simple forest decoration, is preferred by Krishna. Krishna prefers this to the jewels and pearls, because the pearls come from a far distant ocean, and the jewels from far distant mountains, but the Gunja berries come from his beloved Vrindavan. So he prefers them over the pearls. Nadia Bihari, other ornaments. He has a Kostuba jewel. How does this jewel look like? Is this correct? It's very important. We want to meditate about Krishna and we need correct information. It looks like 3.5 circles. Is this entirely correct? Or is it correct in the sense that it reminds us of something else in Krishna's decoration? The 3.5 circles, this is very fine white hair, which is encircled like this, and which is on his chest. You know, ordinary human being, Srivatsa sign, ordinary human being have monkey-like hair on the body. Lord Krishna has a whitish hair, which is 3.5 times in a circle. Thank you for bringing up the Srivatsa sign. But we are here with the Kostuba jewel. What is the specific sign of the Kostuba jewel? How does it look like? Sorry? It's a calf. But what is the color of this jewel? Yes. Adipuri. Red. What is the specific ability of this jewel, Adipurusha? Is it just there and it's stationary and is limited to its resting on Krishna's chest, or can it do something extraordinary? It can change color, but that any jewel can do. But it is nice. Yes, Mataji, please tell us your name. It sparks radiances, attracts the gopis. Yes, there are many descriptions like this. It can act as a cinematic projection. Once Radharani had a dream and told Krishna about it, and then Krishna looked at his Kastuba jewel. Kastuba jewel understood and projected the dream out. Radharani saw a spiritual movie, she had just dreamt. She saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in this way became a witness of the amazing ability of the Kastuba jewel to show even scenes. From the Kastuba jewel further, all the jivas emanate. Hare Krishna. You come from the Kastuba jewel, Nadia Biharini. You are a jewel born. How else? Let us move on. Krishna is bedecked with pearls. Do you know what Radha and Krishna do with their pearls? They very often break the pearl garland, then they feed the pearls to the swan. The Vrindavan swans seem to have a specific spiritual digestive potency to digest pearls. They do not suffer from this. They are enlivened by this. And there are many, many things about it. How else does Krishna look? Irena. He has a locket with Radha's Krishna on his chest. Radha's picture on his chest. Thank you. How else? Sitaram. What do you think when you see Lord Krishna in your mind's eye? He has a threefold banded form which is banded in three places. I have a question for you, Sitaram Prabhu. When Lord Krishna stands there, one foot is in the front and another foot is in the back. Which foot is in the back and which foot is in the front, please? The left foot, Sitaram Prabhu says, is in front, and the right foot assembles behind the curve in the knee and is there, like this. Is this correct? I must say, I do not know. This is a picture. What does this picture say? The left foot is in front. This is the left foot. And the right foot is behind.
In our temple, the right foot is in front.
Right? Someone here says no.
What do you say?
Oh, she must know. She's dancing.
Right foot is in front. And your teacher knows. Yes, of course. Yes. I personally think... also his right foot is in front. This is how I have... No, I've written it in a different way. I personally think he might also change sometimes his position, but... Hare Krishna. Doesn't the foot go towards Srimati Radharani? Now we get close to the thing. Jagatarini, in enthusiasm, wants to say something. Right front in front... Right foot in front, so that the left foot, oh, we will have to have someone model it. I was thinking of Gadadhar when all of a sudden a severe criticism of Gadadhar's elegance overcame me. Who is a good model, a beautiful person? Nitai Chand, please come here. So, how would it look like if the foot has to be towards Srimati Radharani? Radharani, Krishna is here, Radharani is on that side. So please do it in the right way. I think the right foot must go before the left foot. Don't fall. The right foot before the left foot. Yeah. Don't fall. Don't. No, but not natural. Is this good? No.
Here is the picture.
Praman. You have to stand like this. Right foot towards Srimati Radharani. So this one, yes. In front. Yes. Very good. How do you feel? Very different from Krishna. So the right foot, as you can see on this wonderful picture, which we will pass now around, is the foot sole, the most delicate part, is showing towards Srimati Radharani. Please show this around so that you get an idea. It's important if you want to meditate. This was from Raditsa. So, we will continue now. Krishna looks like I've written down the threefold bended form. His right foot is before the left foot. He has a peacock feather, gunjamala. His chest is bedecked with tulasi manjaris. And he has garlands of kadamba flowers and forest ornaments. This very practically means that Lord Krishna takes flowers, sometimes twigs, to dress himself. Then he is painted. Sanatana Goswami says some of the paintings look like have a spider form, which he has on the chest. In other words, there is a dot here, and then lines coming from it, like a spider with many legs. And the lines look like spider legs, a little bit curved. This is a decoration. He has bracelets. And all this, he has the flute.
Peacock feather, we
have said. Yes. Sometimes Krishna pretends to fall asleep in order to attract Srimati Radharani. Radharani at that time comes to steal the flute. We will hear a little later in our meditations why she sees a necessity to flee, to steal the flute. At that time, Kundalata, who is a niece of Lord Krishna, scolds him and says, "Your everything has gone and still you sleep. Your flute has gone." Krishna's flute is for Krishna, in other words, everything. Krishna's flute play, this is Sanatana Goswami's explanation, acts like magic, like a mantra, to which different living entities respond in different ways. The peacock, when the peacocks hear Lord Krishna's flute,
they become inspired to dance. They surround Lord Krishna at that time, and in their ecstasy, their sense of perception fails them. They think it's a rain cloud. Krishna is a rain cloud because he, you must know, from Krishna, waves of bluish color emanate. You must know, when Radha and Krishna go together through the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna has an emerald or smaragd like blue which emanates from him, and Radharani yellow like lightning. So the two colors mix, and the whole forest looks greener than green. Don't you feel this also here, how that is interestingly green? It is very much lit up by Radha and Krishna's combined effulgence. Blue and yellow is green. Is this true?
Yes.
Yes. The whole forest looks greener than green by Radha and Krishna's combined effulgence. But when Krishna is alone, the peacock thinks this is a monsoon cloud. So much blue is coming from this. And they dance. After some time, they get to find out this is Krishna with his flute. And one peacock steps out, and Jagatarini was saying this yesterday. He meditates, I have nothing valuable to offer for Krishna, who did such a nice flute concert. Let me offer him a peacock feather from my own tail. I wonder what Krishna will do with this. So Krishna is very, very, very appreciative of even the smallest service which is rendered to him. When someone offers you something and you respect the person who has given you this, what will you do with the offering? Very naturally, in a gesture of respect, you will place it to your forehead. Thank you, I've gotten this nice new spectacle container. And you will say, wow. So Krishna does the same thing. He takes the peacock feather and puts it in his top knot here. Then later Yashoda, understanding that her son really wishes to keep this ornament, fastens two little gold chains so that it will not always wave and fall eventually. So it is further held at the top knot by two very nice fine golden chains.
Hare Krishna.
So Krishna's flute play acts magic. Anyone who knows the magic of Krishna's flute play, what are the effects? Yamuna flows, the Yamuna hears it, and becoming totally in ecstasy, flows in the opposite direction. We will hear about this more. The Yamuna will think, this is the best music which is available. This is the music of my Lord. And the music begins to enter through her ears, which are watery ears. And as a result, she becomes so totally ecstatic that there are whirlpools gathering. You know, when you become ecstatic, you're moved, and whirlpools begin to happen. She decides, I will flow in the opposite direction to embrace my Lord's lotus feet. And while she does so, she thinks, but I can't come empty-handed. And on her way, she takes the lotus flowers, which are on her banks, in a bouquet of lotus flowers, and brings it to the lotus feet of the Lord. Because she thinks lotus feet and lotus flowers go good together. Yamunaji.
Hare Krishna.
Other magical effects of the flute. Non-moving entities start to move. Rocks, for instance, melt. When there is no river nearby, Krishna will sometimes play on his flute in such a way that Giriraj will melt and the cows will drink Giriraj. We have heard this from Jiva Goswami that often the servants in Vrindavan are so ecstatic with service that they want to serve their Lord in multifunctions. For instance, the pillow on which Krishna's head rests thinks, I'm very envious of the place in the bed where Krishna's lotus feet rests. I only get the head and they get the feet. And then the pillow on its own secretly sneaks to the lotus feet in order to serve as a pillow for the lotus feet. The rice thinks, now I have been eaten by my Lord, but what now? I want to do more service. And it again manifests in the boiling pot so that it is again served to Lord Krishna. These are conscious beings, not unconscious, dull beings. Any other magical effect of the flute? Amaraji, please tell your name. Shitra Devi. Nishinga. Oh, yes, Nishinga Mataji. The peacocks start dancing, you said? Oh. The peacocks start dancing, yes. The birds start chirping. The cows start mooing. Mooing. Moo, moo. Go, cows. Charanagati. The deer are stunned. The gopis come. Jiva Goswami explains, when Krishna was young and played on his flute, he began to see that the objects began to change. Rocks began to melt. And something happened with the rivers. They went the other way. Then he thought, let me practice a little. When he was a little bit more accomplished, he saw how the birds, the whole animals were coming towards him as he played. Then he started to really practice, and when he was really accomplished, the gopis came running. But then he thought, I must practice more. And because I want one gopi to come. And then Srimati Radharani came. This is just a leela. Krishna is always an accomplished flute player. In this way, we could make a whole large workshop about the effect of the flute play. Madhavendra Puri will give the last point. Calves are so stunned, they can't continue with the most greedy activity of the calf. Even that is stopped. Drinking the milk of the mother. So the animals who see Lord Krishna playing on his flute are stunned and watch from the hilltops trying to locate Krishna. Some of the animals fall on top of each other and create huge piles all over Vrindavan. Especially the deer are not known for being very resistant to the flute play of Lord Krishna. It is said that all the animals of Braj are absorbed in seva. So when Krishna plays his flute, the other birds chirp mildly, not aggressively, so that the flute play is neither disturbed in melody and in rhythm. It can flow on. You must know that when Krishna is in Dwaraka or Mathura, he doesn't take his flute with him. In Dwaraka, Krishna says, no one appreciates my flute playing here. And therefore he has not played, he doesn't play the flute there. So only in Braj, this Venu Madhurya, the sweetness of the flute is there. And as you could see from your own collection of points, it is something extraordinary. There are exactly 8 noteworthy effects of the flute playing. One effect of the flute playing extends beyond the universe. The demigods who hear it become stunned. There is a verse by Rupa Goswami that when Ananta Shesha, who hears the flute play of Lord Krishna, hears this most bewildering sound, he begins to shake his head rhythmically, which creates a severe problem to the otherwise fixed gravitational forces. Everything becomes topsy-turvy. Yes. Hare Krishna. With this description of Krishna's flute, my dear devotees, I want to draw your attention to a very deep point. This flute is not like, cannot be like a flute of this world. This flute is nothing else than, let us see, a converter of ecstasy. The nectar from Krishna's lips is put into this flute and transformed into sound. And the flute of Lord Krishna is so enchanting, so absolutely ecstatic, that it calls not only the gopis, not only the rivers, not only everyone in Vrindavan, but all of us as well. Jiva Goswami says, the reason why a person plays a flute at all is for enjoyment. If you do not want to have higher enjoyment, you are satisfied with whistling, which is not extremely expressive for music. Of course, in my young days, I heard one whistling song. It was on the 10th place of the British Hit Parade. It went like this, but it was only 3 or 4 sounds. It was not extremely impressive. Now, when a person wants to increase the enjoyment, he will take help of a flute, which, of course, will immediately increase the scale of the music. No longer, how many sounds you can whistle, Govinda Mohini? One, you only one. But with the flute, you can even do 10 maybe. So Krishna takes the flute to increase his enjoyment. Jiva Goswami makes the point from this, that Krishna likes to increase his enjoyment, and he calls us, which is clear from the fact that he takes a flute and doesn't whistle and serve his purpose just by whistling. So Krishna calls us with his transcendental flute to join his pastime of enjoyment. This is what Krishna does. This is Krishna's habitual thing. He wants more people to join him so that the enjoyment is higher. So after this, discussion, we will again request you to meditate, and this time we hope to let you go a little bit deeper because you have heard more. See, in our tradition, this is the gift of, especially the gift of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which was taken by Srila Prabhupada and given to us. Meditation is always based on Shravanam and Kirtanam. It's very important. Shravanam and Kirtanam gives us the substance for meditation. Bahapidam natavara vapu kanayo kanikaram
Bibratva kanaka kapisham vaichajantim chamalam rantran vino adarasudaya purayan gopa brindaye brindaranyam svapadagramanam Pravishat Gita Kirti. Krishna wears a peacock feather ornament upon his head, a blue Karnikara flower on his ear, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijajanti garland, which has five types of flowers, including the dearest flower, the Tulasi Manjaris. Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Thank you very much. This was a little explanation the verse which described this scene, that Krishna is playing flute here and the peacocks come and dance madly and so on. I want to encourage all of you that if you wish to start this wonderful and taste-giving art of meditating, start with this verse, which is the best verse about Lord Krishna. I have given it yesterday, but some of you didn't, it was too fast to take it down on the notepad. It's Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse number 5. If you can learn this verse, according to Prabhupada's translations in the Nectar of Devotion, is really how the gopis became absorbed in thought of Krishna. Then you will have something wonderful to take. So, Hare Krishna, we will now move on. The Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas describe gradually, after this somewhat general description of Vrindavan, how different beings are appreciating Krishna and are absorbed in Shri Krishna. It starts with the clouds who have the most distant relationship to Lord Krishna, because many clouds are considered foreigners. They come from other parts, not from Braj. But all of the clouds, either the Vrindavan clouds, this is an explanation of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or the foreigner clouds who have become attached to Krishna just by being in Vrindavan, they are becoming so attached they cannot leave Vrindavan. They just, when the wind blows them, they say, no, we stay in Vrindavan. We do not want to go.
like maybe some of you, when your visas are finished, you think, no, I do not wish to live Vrindavan. So the clouds are expressed. When Krishna plays his flute song, they come above Krishna and they first of all shield him against the sun rays. But this is not enough. Then they sprinkle water over them. Now, because they are Vrindavan clouds, that is fully conscious clouds, they think, water, is this all which we offer to Krishna? So they decide some novelty of cloud activity. They think flowers would be much nicer, especially yellow flowers, because it contrasts so nice to his blue thing. And then the flowers rain down yellow, the Vrindavan clouds rain down yellow flowers, and also honey drops. That's a nice service, isn't it? It makes everything so juicy, actually, so rasa laden. And I want to go into the meditation about the rivers, because it is so very nice. Natyastada tadupadaya mukunda gitam. Krishna. Avata lakshita manobhava bhakna vega. Alingana stagita murmi buje murare. Grinantipada yugalang kamalopahara. When the rivers hear the flute song of Krishna, their minds begin to desire him, and thus the flow of their currents is broken, and their waters are agitated, moving around in whirlpools. Then with the arms of their waves, the rivers embrace Murari's lotus feet, and holding on to them, present offerings of lotus flowers. So you have heard already something about this, but we will now go deeper. The whole seminar is supposed to bring us a little deeper into Braj. Krishna, it's really, when you lecture, I really feel sympathy to Burijan Prabhu. Did you notice? He was talking, all of a sudden he saw the cows, and all his, he became carried by a river of Braj appreciation, and he told Braj Bihari, photograph the cows, although Braj Bihari has already done 5 scenes of cows. It was not sufficient for the increasing greed of Burijan Prabhu. It was you have endeared yourself to our hearts for the rest of our lives by this helpless attraction to a Vraj, which is unreasonable according to materialistic categories. So here you lecture about Vrindavan, and you feel how everything comes alive, including the waters it's described here. Then all of a sudden the parrots, look, this little fellow here. Yes, we are talking about you. He shyly looks some other way, but you feel like he is listening to you and participating in the seminar. Hare Krishna. So yes, you never know who's here in Vrindavan and who's coming in disguise and so on. So we want to go deeper in our appreciation. More fortunate than the clouds are the rivers. Who could imagine why the rivers are more fortunate than the clouds? Yes? Because Krishna takes a bath in the Yamuna. This is something, isn't it? Gangamai went to Lord Chaitanya one day. When Lord Chaitanya had not yet appeared, Gangamai, and said, "My dear Lord, my sister Yamuna was so fortunate. 4,500 years ago, you were bathing in her, and the nectar of your lips would sometimes become spread through the river waves. Please give me a chance to embrace you also." The Lord said, "Yes, I'm coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and bathe every day. We have considered your request already. Don't worry." Another reason why the rivers of Vrindavan could be more fortunate than the clouds. Nishinga. Many, many pastimes on the river with a boat, for instance. One thing which you must know, all the rivers have association with a pure devotee river, the Yamuna. In Vrindavan, all the rivers, Sanatana Goswami says, are naturally seen as relatives to the Yamuna. The rivers, he said, rivers here refers to the Yamuna and her companions. Another companion of the Yamuna is the Manasi Ganga. It's a companion of the Yamuna. It has contact with the Yamuna somehow. So, I will repeat again because we want to meditate and repetition is very good. The flute song enters through the river's ears and begins to entirely capture the heart of the Yamuna Devi, who shows ecstatic symptoms of making a whirlpool. That is one of the Ashta Sattvika Bhavas, is trembling and moving and dancing. This is the expression of the river. But the whirlpools, you might say, why does it create a whirlpool? It could also create high waves, for instance. No, the whirlpool means that the rivers begin to, they are female, they begin to have a very Madhurya attraction, a Cupid-like attraction of loving motion. So the whirlpool is a symbol of Cupid, and therefore they have the Cupid attraction, a very loving attraction in the Madhurya, in that mood of a lover. At that time, the waves of the river become like many arms which want to hold Krishna's lotus feet. And the gopis who are chanting this verse, they begin to think, "Oh, the rivers are so fortunate, because Krishna's lotus feet always move here and there. In the morning he leaves our village and goes to the forests of Vrindavan, and only in the afternoon he returns. His lotus feet are so restless. We wish to have his lotus feet, but it seems the river has more mercy than us, because he can capture actually the swiftly moving lotus feet of Krishna." How often have we felt as disciples of Srila Prabhupada the great intense desire, "Prabhupada's feet move so fast, couldn't we just keep him 2 weeks at a place? Is it impossible?" And so the gopis also feel like this, but they begin to imagine or see that the river's arms hold the lotus feet for a considerable amount of time. The rivers then want to bring something to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, which are the lotus flowers. And they do a little mistake. They presented the lotus flowers on golden trays. golden plates. This is a mistake. They were spaced out of love, because they could have offered it with their own jewels, but somehow they thought golden plates may be more appreciated by Lord Krishna, because it's gold. But Krishna would have appreciated the jewels more if they would have offered the lotuses with the jewels. This is Sanatana Goswami's explanation. In the confusion of love, they forgot that they possess immense treasures of jewels, pearls, and other riches to bring the lotus flowers with. Hare Krishna. So now, we will again try to meditate about this. This time, our admiring Brijbasis have left us, and we will try to go a little bit deeper in the meditation. Situate yourself comfortably, please. And if you can, with a spine which is erect. For a moment, take just inhale very deeply into the area where your bellies are. And exhale very deeply. Use your nostrils only. And try to concentrate your attention on the in and outgoing breath. Nothing more. Don't force your breathing too much. Let it come and go, and the main task you have now is to think about the breathing and stay with your breathing. Don't take lumps of breathing, but breathe in fluently in and out. The task is not to breathe in as deep as possible, but as fluently as possible. Then feel yourself as sitting on the ground of Vrindavan. Feel where your body touches the ground. And be well grounded. You're sitting here at the lap of Giriraj. Breathe in and out. And just be here. On the ground. Now open your attention, not your eyes, your mind's eye, and perceive the sounds around you. The birds, the joyful Brijbasis in the distance. Even the approaching motor rickshaw. But now only hear to the sounds of the birds. You know that Lord Krishna is in Vrindavan, and you have heard from the Bhagavatam that he plays his mind-enchanting flute. We will now hear the river's relationship to Lord Krishna. When the rivers hear the flute song of Krishna, their minds begin to desire him. And thus the flow of their currents
is broken, and their waters are agitated, moving around in whirlpools. Whirlpools. Then with the arms of their waves, the rivers embrace Murari's lotus feet, and holding on to them, they present offerings of lotus flowers. Think about the flute song of Krishna. Think about the rivers and how they want to be close to Krishna and desire Him. Think about that the currents are broken and they move around in whirlpools. Think of the watery arms of the rivers, their waves, and see how they swoop over and embrace Lord Murari's lotus feet. Think how they can't let them go and present an offering of lotus flowers. If you're ready, please open your eyes again. Again, dear devotees, I will admit to you that we are practicing something at the sacred valley of Giriraj, which in a natural progression of Krishna conscious advancement will be something which comes to you automatically. You will see as you chant the holy name, how from the name you will think first about Krishna's qualities. He's so merciful to me. I'm sitting here next to Giriraj. This morning we could see devotees sitting like this, being very happy, grinning, sometimes even crying. Oh, I'm so glad I'm here. Yes. Then this is Krishna's mercy. Then you will see from the qualities more about the form and then leelas. This will happen naturally and not in a forced way. When you force this too much, this will not bring you to pure Krishna consciousness. It will be revealed in time. But if you never read about it, and if you never carefully enter these traditions, it will also not come. So both needs to be there. Hare Krishna. So I'm now looking at the wristwatch. Up to which time do we go, Braj Bihari? Up to 5:30. I would recommend that we do now a quick writing exercise. You might even like to get up to get your system working. Please write something free writing, either about the Bahapitam verse, that's where Krishna entered the forest of Vrindavan. It's actually not free writing, it's directed writing. When Krishna entered the forest of Vrindavan, write down, be open with all the informations, even if you stray away from the verse and you are all of a sudden in your own Vrindavan visualization, or of the rivers. This will be very brief and so on. You will be called by Bhakta Priya in exactly 10 minutes. I think if you really do it and you read it afterwards, you will find out, oh, I was very Krishna consciousness in the seminar in Giriraj. Hare Krishna. By the way, Buriram Prabhu has We just had a little discussion. Murijan Prabhu said, you said you would tell the devotees how to use this in the japa meditation. This will come at the last day. No? It is not forgotten, but first of all, we will just go through a few Bhakti Rasayana shlokas. Yes, Raj Bihari? I was going to ask you, is it already over, our retreat? Okay. Final get together and a wonderful surprise, by the way, which I will have to tell you later. Yes, so tomorrow we will talk about it in. So, okay, then I. Oh, Krishna, it's really I'm citing because there's so much material, but it really doesn't matter. By the way, that we I did not intend to cover the Bhakti Rasayana shlokas because we would go very, very fast and not have the possibility to taste any details and go in detail. So I strongly encourage you, when the book comes out, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, to look into the purpose of Sanatan Goswami, who so nicely explains each verse, and also to see as you to start reading these verses from time to time and remembering different details from your literature of Krishna book and Bhagavatam and maybe other books which talk about these subject matters. We will now go to another verse. It is said, still more fortunate than the rivers are the cows, obviously. No. I'm sorry. The cows have come much later. Still more fortunate than the rivers are the trees and their creepers. The trees, when they hear the ecstatic flute play of Lord Krishna, respond in such a way that that in the ecstasy they produce many fruits and their branches bent down low. Still more fortunate are the bees. They hum around Lord Krishna's garland, sometimes drink the nectar of the garlands, and then the water birds are mentioned, who are more fortunate than the bees. But the water birds prefer to stay where the water is and don't come so close to Krishna. So the forest birds, who even fly where Krishna is, they are more fortunate than the water birds. And then we hear now who is more fortunate than the birds. I was thinking this because we have so much experience of the birds here, but who comes next after the birds? You can please find it in your Bhakti Rasayana shlokas. I forgot that you have them also. It's verse 10, 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse number 11. On which page is it to be found? 16. 216. Oh, I see. Dan danyas mamuda gatayo piharin yaeta Danyas mamudagatayo piharinyaeta Yananda nanda namupatta vichitra vesham Yananda nanda namupatta vichitra vesham Akanya venoranitam sa krishna sara Akanya venoranitam sa krishna sara Pujam dadu virachitam pranayavalokai Danyasma mura gatayo piharinya eta Yananda nanda namupatta vichitra vesham Yananda nanda namupatta vichitra vesham Akanya venoranitam sa krishna sara Nuranitam sa krishna sara Pujam dadu virachitam pranayavalokai
This is again from the perspective of the gopis. Blessed are all these foolish deer because they have approached Maharaj Nanda's son who is gorgeously dressed and is playing on his flute. Indeed, both the doe and the bucks, that is the female deer and the male deer, worship the Lord with looks of love and affection. The gopis are explaining something which in your ears might not be very charitable. They say, blessed are the muda gataya, the foolish deer. The gopis remember that the deer are very foolish. A hunter can just come and play a flute, and they come and they remain stunned, and then the arrows of the hunter can enter into the heart of the deer. But they say, nevertheless, by the way, does this remind you of a situation? Could this be that the gopis speak of a situation known to them? Probably think. but these, nevertheless, although they are so foolish that they are also attracted to the flute and can be shot, they are most fortunate. And there are a few reasons why they are most fortunate. One reason is that the husbands seem to have nothing against this fact. In fact, doe and bucks, this is female deer and male deer, are coming and simultaneously they worship Krishna. But our husbands, the gopis think, they are against us meeting our paramour lover. Now this is not entirely correct, but it is correct in the language of Bhava. Actually, Sanatana Goswami says, the cowherd men are also attracted to Krishna exclusively. But still, because the gopis feel subordinate to their husbands, they feel shy to share their worship with their husbands. So they do it secretly as the paramour lovers of Krishna.
Yes, and of course there are also much contrary. Anyways, this is Sanatana Goswami's comment here. So the gopis feel happy for the deer, and they think that we are not so fortunate. We do not come as couples to Krishna, because one of the half of us will object to this, our husbands. Here, Bhaktapriya and Nadia Biharini are a couple, and both of them worship Krishna. And I think you have nothing against that Nadia Biharini spends more time dressing the deity than you. This is appreciated, I think, and encouraged by you. Yes. That's why you're Priya, very dear. This is a very fortunate relationship. But here the gopis feel, when we come to Krishna, we have to do it alone. Otherwise, there's trouble in the house. So the deer are coming as couples. Very good. Very good. Because for both male and female deer, only Krishna is important. But our foolish husbands can't tolerate if we would follow Krishna into the forest and worship him. Now, may I ask you, how exactly do the deer worship Krishna? What?
By licking him?
By glances laden with love, Govinda Mohini. Oh yeah, before Krishna comes into the forest of Vrindavan, they clear the path by sweeping the dust and everything out of the way. Especially the musk deers are doing it, and they simultaneously make the dust more fragrant with their musk. Some, yeah. Any other way how the deer worship Lord Krishna? Sanatana Goswami especially takes out this point here. Pranaya avalokai, by their affectionate glances. And he says something which is important for us. It is simple, he says, to look affectionately at Krishna. It cannot be compared with a big puja plate, which is a little more complicated. There are various items on the puja plate. But it is the best mode of worship, to worship Krishna with love-laden glances, with looks of affection. And he says, nothing but this satisfies Krishna. He is, in other words, exceptionally pleased by glances of affection. And I really want to make this point from the Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna talks very much about what pleases him in this important verse, Patram Pushpang Phalang Toyang Yem Yome Bhakta Pranashyati Bhaktyupang Uparitam Ashnami Prayatatmana. One line was not exactly grammatically correct, but the word was there. Two times in this verse it appears with bhakti. Bhakti must be there. This is the most important element. And bhakti can be carried by glances, like the deer. It can express itself also in other ways. Krishna really cares only about the bhakti. And there is a very nice little story I would like to tell you in this connection. You know, when Krishna was invited to come to the palace of to Hastinapur for negotiations, he came there as a messenger of the Pandavas, and he had a certain message to Duryodhana's. But this message was waiting. First, Duryodhana wanted to invite Lord Krishna, and he gave him the palace, or wanted to host Lord Krishna, and he gave him the palace of his most sensuous brother, Dushasan, which was had the nicest palace. He was a sensuous man and took care of nice furniture and good architectural designs. So Krishna went into this palace, was accommodated there, and it was he was invited for an evening meal where the best cooks of the country had come and assembled for a very representable meal. Krishna, however, as you all know, did not appear at that meal, but he went to the house of Vidura, where his devotee, out of total confusion, it was an unannounced visit, offered him the peel of bananas, throwing the bananas away, and Krishna had accepted this gift. So in the morning, when the negotiation time was there, Krishna came to the palace where the negotiations were going on, where to be held. And the first question to Duryodhana had, where were you last evening? You were invited to appear and you did not come. And Krishna there said something which is very, very interesting. He said, well, Duryodhana, I couldn't eat. See, if you want to eat, two conditions must be fulfilled if you eat. The first condition is you must be hungry, or the second condition to eat is the person who offers you something to eat, if he does it or she does it in full love and affection, then you eat, you must eat. But see, none of these two conditions were there. First of all, I cannot be hungry because I have a transcendental body made of Sachit Ananda. It is not possible for me to feel this emotion. And the second thing is, you don't love me, Duryodhana. So therefore, I could not eat. It was not possible for me to gulp down anything. And there's no hunger and no love from your side. So love is really what counts. And my dear devotees, this whole seminar of the Giriraj Govardhan seminar is a seminar which is meant to create in us love, maybe by going over the different steps which lead to love. Love is on a high podest, but gratitude is a step which leads to love. Simple gratitude. Or fascination. Maybe you become fascinated with Giriraj and so on. My dear devotees, don't be shy to develop your love for Krishna or think about your love for Krishna. And do it properly by going through over the proper steps. There are means to increase the love and means to shrink in the love. All of us here who sit here, not all of us, but many of us, have a hole in their heart, a hole which can only be filled by one person, not by a plaster, not by some cotton or a chirurgical instrument. Only Krishna can fill this hole. Oh, devotees with holes in your heart, remember, you must put Krishna there. That's the place where he anatomically belongs, in your heart. Few days ago, there was a scandal in Vrindavan. I became a witness to it and a mediator. One girl had aggressively fallen in love with another boy and was throwing glances at him and making less than tactful arrangements to stumble over his path.
And this boy was coming to me and said, I want to be a Brahmachari Maharaj. This girl is... can you help me? And I said, I just come from Suryakund. Does this have to be? But then I offered my help because both... And the Brahmachari showed me the love letter of the girl to him. Hare Krishna. As I read it, the Brahmachari had a name of Krishna. His name was... is withheld here for practical reasons. I will give another a nice name, Govinda. It's nice. Or Murali. And as I was reading the letter, it was a letter which was surely addressed to Lord Krishna. I mean, everything the girl saw in Murali was really what is in reality only there in Krishna. I really felt like taking the letter and publishing it in my web page, international web page, as a love letter to Lord Krishna. It had so much feeling and so much appreciation for gestures and everything. And then I noticed, we live here in the prison of misplaced love. And I said to the Mataji, may I read this letter to you? Please listen to your own letter in terms of that it could be a love letter to Krishna. And the person saw it, and with great excitement, she put her hands over their head and said, wow, I can see it! I can see it! I was looking for Krishna, but I saw him somewhere else. I will not do this mistake again. Hare Krishna. It was an enlightened response to her own writing exercise. So,
now everyone do a free
so, so this is a really a fact which was revealed in Vrindavan for the benefit of the seminar goers. Do not try to find out who's the boy and who's the girl. It would be highly indiscreet on your part, and it would bring me in deep trouble. I would be hanged on some kadamba tree in Vrindavan by the participants of this typical ISKCON scandal. So we have this place, and it's meant for Krishna. And here, all of us... patients of the holy heart, not holy, but holy, with V-H, of the heart with the whole, should think about this point very, very much. Krishna wants our affection. Then he will come into our heart. And I very much want to bring the deers into the deer. The gopis call them foolish because the deers are like them. They run after Krishna and are wounded by the flute song. But they also call them foolish because they are simple deer. Deer are not... Have you seen Vrindavan deer? They are not so entirely calculated in their movements and plans. They are very... you in the Radha Damodar temple in Radhakund, you can see the deer. Is he still living, the deer? He moves very... Not much communication is possible. He's very friendly, the deer, but... Krishnasara, the black deer. Yes. But they have affection for Krishna. This is what counts. Affection for Krishna. This is what Krishna will take. This is when Krishna will visit your holy heart. Affection for Krishna. So let us end this day by again hearing this verse while remembering the additional information which has been given to us. I forgot one little
thing which you may know already, but which will come to your help in your meditative hearing, that when the flute of Krishna sounds, all the abilities become stunned by the reverberation of Krishna's flute. Oh, blessed are all these foolish deer, because they have approached Maharaj Nanda's son, who is gorgeously dressed and is playing on his flute. Indeed, both the doe and the box, that is the female deer and the male deer, worship the Lord with looks of love and affection. To finish this session, I want to make a remark which is important for those who take notes. By now, we hope to have shown you by practical demonstration one important element of the Bhakti Rasayana meditation. The important element is that you collect information about each one of the points which are given in the verses. You can write them down on a paper. You can in this way increase your understanding of Lord Krishna. And then when you take this authorized information and begin to think about it, you will think very nicely and wholesomely about Lord Krishna. It's a very, very simple method, a very natural method also. So what I really recommend for devotees who like to, let me say like this, I won't recommend it for all, because you can see a person like Gadadha, for instance, his intelligence does not work like this. But his intelligence works to gather information and keep it in the heart or forget it according to his present state of mind. This is his method. And it is one of the many methods. But I work like this. I want to collect many informations about Lord Krishna. Then I've made it like this. For my birthday, I've requested, please make all the verses, and then an empty page. And throughout my life now, I will collect informations on this verse and the empty page. And then when I die, I will take this book on my heart, like this, and go. Very simple. And it will be bigger and bigger. Obviously, see, it has already, this particular thing which we will do tomorrow needed already an insertment. So much information gathered here, and I only have two pages. So I have put another page here, which will collect more information, and I can unlimitedly expand the number of pages. I will read it from time to time, and then tomorrow we will explain how to use this information in japa. And in this way, everything is very nicely accommodated in by the help of notebooks, pens, and reading literature. Thank you very much for your kind participation. We have now
reached our time, and I will not request you to do an exercise because we want to be punctual. Braj Bihari Prabhu will give us the orientation for the evening. Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Jai Sri Radhe.
Yeah.